The praise of God is filling the sanctuary, and I'm sure while you're worshiping at home, you're enjoying intimacy with God. You know, worshiping from home, that's not the worst place to worship. We're all looking for a new normal, and we're believing God and trusting God more than we ever have. And that's exciting because He has always proven Himself to be trustworthy. So right where you are in your homes and right here where we are with a skeleton crew, just staff, technical support, and our wonderful praise and worship team, we welcome you to our service today. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you, praise and worship team. You always take us into His presence. I do want to mention that one of our church members is in the hospital. Miss Quanda Jackson has some complications. She's going to be okay, though, but our prayers are with her. This is Miss Brenda Jackson's daughter, Miss Quanda. Also, the coronavirus, and I'm tired of hearing about that, aren't you? But we have several members of our church who are affected by the virus. Some of our members have been quarantined simply because they were in contact with an infected person. Our prayers are with the doctors and the nurses and the first responders. They're on the cutting edge of this war, and so our prayers are with one another. I do want to mention, though, a direct connection to the coronavirus as it affects our church. James and Beverly Smith, who are faithful members here, their son, Sean, age 47, who lives in Pennsylvania, was diagnosed yesterday with a confirmed case of coronavirus. So our prayers are with James and Beverly, and especially Sean. That is a direct impact on our church family. Well, I'll tell you where I am in all of this. I have a new sense of gratitude to God. I'm sure you share a lot of these sentiments with me. There were so many things we took for granted that I'm appreciating more than ever now, like being able to get together on Sunday morning in the house of God and worship corporately. Oh, I can't wait for us to do that again. And then our fellowship meals, how I miss those. We took it for granted, all of our church, like a family reunion, getting together and enjoying a delicious meal and fellowship one with another. I can't wait for that to come back. But our relationships in the church are being strengthened during this time. The enemy has meant to destroy so much of the way we live, but we're going to be a better people because of this. We are praying one for another more than ever. If it's possible, I appreciate our church family more than I ever have. And thank you for praying for me and one for another, reaching out and checking on others in the church during this time. This crisis is bringing out the best in people, bringing out the best in our medical professionals, and bringing out the best in the body of Christ, in His church. Then we're realizing through this that some things we thought were important really is not, and some things we've taken for granted, we're realizing that's the most important thing. So this is a time to adjust some things in our life. And I will just tell you personally, I'm finding it easy to hear from God. Pastors are notorious for, oh, we've got to hear from God once a week. But I'm hearing Him say something fresh every hour. And I'm sure you are. And you get enough food to feed your fear watching the news. So today, I'm not feeding fear. I'm feeding our faith. I want to talk this morning about the turning point. Many people have asked, when will this crisis turn around and become a former thing? God's word tells us exactly when that will happen. Now, this coronavirus, I look forward to the day when we don't call that name, because that too will change. It didn't come to stay. It has come to pass. This past Monday, when the world was already in turmoil, the Surgeon General of the United States made this statement. He said, this week, it's going to get bad. I know it's not funny, but he was right. It did get worse this week. The Olympics have been postponed at least a year. The United States today has more confirmed cases of the coronavirus than any other nation. And even while we're worshiping from home right now, half of the United States citizens are living in states or areas where there has been a stay-at-home order. They cannot leave the house. President Trump this past week said that this virus, this invisible enemy, has made him a wartime president. Now, we are at war, but not with a conventional enemy. We are at war with an invisible enemy, this virus, but it is a war nonetheless. This virus is an invisible enemy, and I mentioned last week, our enemy is not imaginary, just invisible. And I mentioned last week, nobody is more prepared to deal with an invisible enemy than the church, because we've been practicing on the devil all of our lives. I'm finding that even in this crisis, as I press in to God, His word is richer to me than it's ever been. I'm more grateful for every blessing. My spirit is more sensible and sharper and more discerning. And God is speaking, even in this crisis, things we've never heard Him say before. Now, this is a crisis. It's a national crisis. It's a global crisis. But the truth is, every crisis is a call to seek God. And that's what the church should be doing right now. You, even in your homes, if you cannot leave the house, that's the perfect place to seek God more than ever, because He is a very present help in times of trouble. And the Lord spoke this to me early this past week, when I realized it is easier for some reason to hear from God, even with the pressure on like it is in the middle of this crisis. He reminded me of a verse of scripture in the Old Testament referring to the way life was in Samuel's day. And it said this, it said the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And I felt a witness in my spirit, something to celebrate. The word of the Lord may have been rare in Samuel's day, in the Old Testament times, but the word of God is not a rare thing today. And even in the middle of this crisis, His word is abounding toward us. The New Testament says it this way, the word of God is not bound, but loose. And so you should find it easy to hear God speak during this crisis. God's people are hearing the voice of the Lord loud and clear. Get in on it, even from your home. I have a greater confidence right now in what God says than I've ever had before. This crisis has changed me, and I'm sure you too. I'm in a different pattern. I'm in a different cycle, and I am not settling. I'm pressing in. All of our church family and our friends can get in on this. It really is an opportunity to reach new levels in God. I want to read just a few verses of scripture this morning. beginning in Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 25. The word of God says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.'" Now this, quote, "yet once more," indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, there is a lot of shaking going on in the earth right now. But we who are born of the Spirit can identify with parallel dimensions. A lot of shaking, chaos, turbulence, disturbance going on in the earth during this crisis. But because we are born of the Spirit, we are aware of another realm altogether. We can see the natural realm with our natural eyesight. But there is a dimension above our heads that is very active during this time. It's the spiritual realm. And there are forces clashing in the spiritual world right above our heads. And it is a parallel dimension. We are living on earth as human beings, but our spirit is a part of a kingdom that is unshakable. And there are things being shaken in the earth right now. And there are things even in heaven being shaken right now. I can't understand it. I can't teach on it. I have no understanding of it. But I believe it because it's in God's word. And it just said, as we read, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven." So anything that can be shaken in heaven is being shaken right now. And everything that can be shaken on earth is being shaken right now, but it is temporary. And when this is over and the shaking has stopped, the things that remain will be unshakable. We're being tested, but we're being tested that we might be proven. The word shaken in the Greek language means to be agitated and disturbed. My, that describes planet Earth right now. A lot of agitation and a lot of disturbance in the earth right now. Now, I want to talk just briefly about the two parallel dimensions, the natural realm, our earth existence that we have five senses to connect with, but then the spiritual realm where our permanent citizenship is, that kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, in the natural realm, right now in the middle of this crisis, we are looking to health and medical professionals and government authorities to do everything they can. We're holding them accountable. And every day, multiple briefings in front of the media with these authorities assuring us they are doing everything they can do to help eradicate this coronavirus. Now, that's in the natural. But I have a question for us today. How should Christians deal with the current pandemic at a spiritual level? Now, we're fighting the war on two fronts. In the natural, it's an invisible enemy, and the frontline warriors fighting that, doctors and nurses and first responders, all of the healthcare workers, scientists, researchers in labs 24 hours a day, trying to develop quickly an antibiotic that will cure this virus and even more, a vaccine that will prevent it from ever returning. Those in the natural are doing everything they can. But what should we do at a spiritual level? One verse of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the secret. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, we live in a land that is desperately in need of healing. Someone said one time, when you ask God for a miracle, he will give you an instruction. And what you do with that instruction determines your miracle. And we're asking God to heal our land. And he gives us an instruction for his people, four things his people, us, are required to do before we hear from heaven and God forgives our sin and heals our land. Now, when there is a drought or a famine or a pandemic or a threat of any kind, like the plague and the virus, before God delivers us in our day of trouble, he expects his people to do something. And he's given us four instructions that will guarantee healing in our land. And it's up to us, the spiritual agents on earth. This verse begins with a small word, if. Notice, church, it's not just a matter of when will God bring healing to our land, but it's a bigger issue than when. In fact, it's if God's people do what we are expected to do, then God will do his part. And he said, if my people, so I'm grateful for doctors and nurses. I'm grateful for those who put their own life on the line right now, ministering to those who are sick and contagious. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. I don't even believe all the numbers I'm hearing. Like I heard before this is over, the unemployment rate in the United States could reach 20%. Let's not believe that, and let's not receive that. These are hard numbers, though. More than 50 doctors in Italy alone have died because they were ministering to those who are sick and contagious. I appreciate all the doctors and nurses are doing and our government authorities. We're submitting to their guidelines because the Bible says all authorities are appointed by God, and that's the way God watches over our souls, is through delegated authority. So while we are submitting and we're grateful for doctors, nurses, scientists, and all that they're doing, I'm even grateful that the government is sending me a check. I will take the check and thank God for it, but I'm not looking to the government as my source. We're looking to God, the great provider, God, the great healer, God who promised, I'll be a very present help with you in your times of trouble. So while they're doing all they can, all that they can do, God says, but if my people will do what they should. It's not determined. Healing for our land, biblically, is not promised by the medical professionals only doing what they can. Healing for our land is guaranteed by God's word based on his people doing what we can and what we should. The responsibility to do what must be done in the spiritual realm does not fall on our government shoulders are the medical professional shoulders, but the responsibility to do what must be done in spiritual warfare falls squarely on the shoulders of God's people. And then his first instruction was humble themselves. That's first base for God's people, to humble themselves. That word means to come under subjection, to recognize with a fresh awareness that God is the great sovereign God, and even though he's the great God, he cares about mortal man, and that's all we are, just mortal men and women. And this requires a huge attitude shift. How easy it is to get puffed up and to look at our own lives or our own groups or our own church and develop a sense of pride, when the truth is every good and perfect gift any of us has comes from God. And so with pride come many curses, but with humility come many blessings. The Bible says that God will resist the proud, but he pours out his grace on those who are humble. Instruction number one is for God's people to humble themselves. Find an altar in your home and bow yourself low before the Lord. Recognize the mighty hand of God that's over us, and we find our place under subjection to his will for our life. Have you ever been resisted by God? Now, I've been resisted by other people and perhaps by God, but I can't imagine a worse thing than God himself resisting me. But the Bible says if I'm prideful, I will face his resistance. But if I humble myself, the grace of God will be poured over my life. This is the week, this is the day, this is the hour where the people of God humble themselves under subjection to his word. And there is no command here to rebuke the devil. The command is to humble yourself and get right with God. After humbling ourselves, the second instruction is to pray, to entreat God, to make supplication, to talk to God, to get acquainted with him as a conversationalist. You know, prayer is not a monologue. Many believers never develop further in their spiritual growth than this. Oh, they know how to get a hold of God when they're in deep trouble and their feet is feeling the fire and they're under such pressure. It's almost like a last resort. But this can no longer be the norm for God's people. We've got to pray. We've got to talk with God. And we shouldn't just do all the talking when we pray. Prayer is not a monologue. It is a dialogue. Talking in conversation with God. Pray in a way that we spill our innermost thoughts to him, our fears and our weaknesses. Pour our heart out to God in prayer. Hello, it's easier now than it was a month ago for believers. I'm walking on eggshells, not out of fear, but out of sensitivity to the Spirit of God. I'm taking his word more seriously. The word I'm bringing to you right now, it came through serious searching and prayer. I believe this is a key for our nation to be healed, and I feel the responsibility you're feeling right now. The weight of this is resting on the shoulders of God's people. And one of the things we must do is pray. And then after we humble ourselves and pray, we seek God's face. We desire him. We search him out. So many times our relationship with God is he's a sugar daddy. And when we want something or really need something, that's when we go to him. But I love it when my children show me love and affection, even when they're not in need of anything and they're not coming to me to ask me for anything, but they just want to be with me. God is wanting his people simply to enjoy fellowship with him and seek his face, who he really is, his glory, not seek just his hand and what he can give to us. Seeking his face. And then the fourth one, and this is the critical one. After we humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, the next word is turn. I'm talking today about the turning point. When will this thing turn around? And here is the solution. When God's people, oh yeah, the doctors, nurses, government authorities, they're doing all they can in the natural, but in the spiritual, when God's people humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn. Repent is another word from their wicked ways. Sometimes turning and repentance requires a 180 degree change. And the church has some turning to do. Children of God, he said, if my people who are called by my name, how many times have we called him by name? We know what name to call when we're in trouble. God's talking to those of us who know his name and call ourselves his people. We must turn. There is a turning point in the natural with all of the crisis that's going on. There will be a turning point, but it will be based on the turning point we as God's people make in the spiritual warfare. We will find our turning point at the place of repentance. I have enjoyed reviewing repentance, looked at my own life in recent days, finding ways to humble myself and pray and seek God's face and make adjustments to change anything in my life that I should. Now, it's not over yet. I'm a work in progress, and this is for all of you, every member and friend of our church worshiping from home right now. This is for all of us. Repentance requires that we change our mind. That's a hard thing to do. You have a mindset. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and referred to mindsets. He called them strongholds in the mind. Imaginations that have become lifted up in our own mind. You can believe a thing even though it's not true. You can believe it to the point that for you, it might as well be true. And that word stronghold, a mindset, can be so reinforced in our own minds that the Greek word is like a fortress. It's as strong as the walls of a fortress, but they can be pulled down by changing our mind to agree with what God says. I have prayed this way as I have walked through a season of turning, looking closely at my own life. I have learned to pray this: Lord, change my mind about everything you and I don't already agree on. Now that's ultimate repentance right there. Oh, I have my own thoughts. I have a mindset. It has developed over my lifetime of experience on my own unique journey. You have yours on your own unique journey. But all of us need to repent to this level. Lord, change my mind about everything you and I don't already agree on. And I've seen the beauty of repentance. Sometimes we hear the word repent, and it's like the sign on a church marquee that would say something like, turn or burn. And, you know, they're flaunting hell in our face. And that should be an incentive. But I don't see repentance as a harsh, crushing blow. I see the beauty of it. The beauty of repentance. Many people think that we can only repent when God calls us. And He's calling all the time. Some people think that repentance happens and then the Holy Spirit starts working in our lives. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit is at work before you repent. Here's the beauty of repentance. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to the turning point. It's His goodness all along. God was good to me before I knew He was good to me. And God's always been good to me and to you. He is so good that before we ever reached our own turning point, our place of repentance, the Holy Spirit was tugging on us even then, pulling on us, leading. He's so good. In His goodness, He leads us to the place of repentance where we find our turning point. We change our mind and agree with God's word. Now, after God's people humble themselves, pray, seek His face, and turn, then God promises, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. That word is, I will pardon you. I will spare you. Imagine the people who are locked up in prison for life without any hope of parole. Or even worse, imagine people who are on death row just waiting hour by hour for their time to be put to death. And then imagine someone with authority giving them a pardon, sparing them from what they would face. My goodness, God will forgive our sin. He will pardon us, and He will spare us the penalty of our sin. And then finally, God said, I will heal their land. I will mend the land. I will cure the land. I will make whole the land again. Now, Jesus talked in the New Testament about an ability He gave us to speak to a mountain and tell it to be moved. And that's metaphorical. It's symbolic. I believe it can also be literal. I've never had the strong faith it would take to look at a mountain and tell it to move. But there will come a point when this mountain of pandemic crisis will be spoken to in authority, and it will move. But I want to tell you, and this is a shocking statement, I'm still learning, there is an appropriate time to tell a mountain to be moved. You can't just speak to a mountain and have it obey you anytime you want. But there's an appropriate time to tell a mountain to be moved. It's all about faith and not at all about fear in terms of the timing. I remember 20 or 25 years ago, a pastor friend of mine in another state called me and said, Carl, I just want to update you on what's going on in our home here personally. He said, my wife went to the doctor 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they have diagnosed her with some lumps in her breast. that were suspicious and ran through the test, and it all looked gloomy that day. And here's what my friend told me, and he's a pastor. He said, when she came home and told me the crushing news, we did not pray right then. He said, if we had prayed right then, it would have been motivated out of a good bit of fear and uncertainty. He said, so we talked about it and said, let's not even pray and ask God for a healing just yet. Let's feed on the word for a few days. Let's build up our faith so that when we do pray, it will be in faith and not fear. And I know what that's like, and I'm sure some of you do. I've gotten many calls over the years from people in the hospital in dire need. It's an emergency situation, and I can always tell when somebody's calling in an emergency and the call is motivated by fear. Even though they may be saying, oh, we need prayer. Fear is such a strong motivator. And so when bad news first comes to your house, fear will be attached to it, but we've not been given that spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so my friend told me, said, we just read the word for 2 weeks. He said, the past 2 weeks we've done nothing but feed our spirit, the truth of God's word, building our faith on healing scriptures. And he said, finally yesterday, we realized both of us had faith at a sufficient level. We thought now would be an appropriate time to tell that mountain to move. So there will come a moment in the not too distant future when we, the church, have followed the instructions God has given us so that our sins can be forgiven and our land can be made whole again. Now, this invisible enemy will soon be a former thing, and now is the time for God's people to do what we do best, and in fact, it's time for God's people to do what only we can. He said, if my people, it's up to us to humble ourselves and pray, seek God's face, and find the turning point of repentance in our own lives. Now, if you're not in right relationship with God, now is the time to turn, to make that adjustment. This is your turning point. Now, things are different here. I'm looking at an empty auditorium. I'd rather it be filled with a few hundred of you who are watching. That day will come. It will come quickly, let's pray. But when we are all together in a live service, and just 2 weeks ago we were, at the end of our services, I call for our prayer teams to come forward, and they pan out across the auditorium here up front, and then we give opportunity for any of those who were in that service with us live, who have prayer needs, to come forward and receive prayer, and especially those who do not know the Lord, who are not in right standing with God. And we see that happen here. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we had 20 new members join our church, and three of them had come forward at the end of our services after we're dismissed and connected with a prayer partner, a prayer team, and asked if they could receive Christ. We can't do that today like that, but I'm believing that in your homes right now, and so many of you who are watching or will watch this during the week, the word of the Lord has come to you. And you're recognizing inside your spirit right now, you know, I have the faith to believe. I believe it's my hour. It is my day for a turning point. I'm ready to change my mind and agree with God about every issue in life. I'm ready to humble myself. I'm ready to pray. I want to seek God's face, and I'm ready to repent. I want a right standing with God. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you are, and then I'm going to give you a simple instruction how to act on your faith immediately. But right there in your homes or wherever you're watching, God is dealing with you. He is right there with you, and He's pulling you. It's like the goodness of God leading you to the place of repentance where you are right now. Just pray something like this and mean it from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for the mess my life is in. I take responsibility for my sin. And I know there's no way I can ever repay my sin debt. There's not enough in me. But I'm aware that you paid that price for me. You sent your son, and he shed his blood so that my sin debt could be paid in full. And I recognize today, God, offering me a free gift. You have chosen me today, and you want to place me in right standing before you. You are giving me the gift of righteousness, and I receive it today. Today is the day I'm confessing Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm calling Him my Master from this day forward. Amen. Now, if you prayed that, and if you've just been born again, or if you've just rededicated your life, you drifted, we do, we're drifters, and you've come back home, you found your turning point today, then the Bible says you need to confess it, you need to tell it, and here's an instruction for you. Write us, email us, send an email to my personal email address, I'll get it, it's ablife@aol.com. Just email us here at the church. I'll read it and I'll respond. And simply say, I prayed with you. I found my turning point. I'm born again, or I've rededicated my life. I'm doing my part in this war with an invisible enemy. I'm calling myself now one of God's people. And I will rejoice with you. We'll make sure you have a Bible if you don't have one, some good material that will help you in your new life in Christ. I'm believing many of you will find your turning point today. Thank you for worshiping from home with us. Don't leave just yet. There's a 3-minute video I want to play for you. I believe it'll strike a chord with all of you because it asks the simple question, how much do you miss your church family? And don't we all miss one another during this time? But it was recorded by a friend of mine who pastors in Cincinnati, Ohio, Pastor Dale Campfield. I saw it yesterday and asked him if I could play it today. Now, he recorded it for his church, a great church, Eastgate Community Church in Cincinnati. In fact, Brenda and I were just at his church a few weeks ago for his wife's homegoing celebration. She is in heaven today, but our good friend Dale Campfield did this to bless his people, and I believe it will be a blessing to you. So watch this 3-minute video, and after that, Pastor Steve comes up to share a couple of announcements you've never heard about yet, but you'll want to be a part of that. Enjoy this video.
Well, here we are. We're still stuck in our homes. And you know, I was wondering, what do you miss the most since we're in quarantine, if you will, and nobody can get out and really do anything? What do you miss the most? Maybe you miss your family? Well, maybe not, because you're probably with your family and they're driving you crazy, right? They're just driving you crazy. But maybe you miss going out to restaurants and the smell of the food and the service and everything, like going to that Olive Garden or maybe La Rosa's Pizza and smelling maybe Outback Steakhouse or maybe that wonderful smell and the wonderful feeling at Jeff Ruby's The Precinct or maybe Jollibee's or maybe Starbucks. Just the smell of coffee and being able to sit there and enjoy your Starbucks. Or, you know, since everything's been shut down, we don't even have sports to be able to watch anymore. Well, March Madness, it's gone. College basketball is pretty much gone for now. Golf, can't even watch golf. And NASCAR, NASCAR's not there. The Olympics, they've been canceled, been postponed. So maybe you thought, well, how about the movies? Sure, we can do Netflix and all that kind of stuff, but about going to the movies and just the smell of the popcorn. And, you know, I was looking forward to James Bond, but nope, no James Bond. Nope, no Fast and Furious Part 9. Nope, no Wonder Woman movie. Nope, no Quiet Place 2 or Mulan. They've all been canceled. They've all been postponed. Maybe you were planning to go to the beach, and oh, you missed going to the beach and going on vacation, or maybe going to Disney World, or maybe you were going to go to Italy, go overseas, or maybe your plan was to go to New York, Times Square, or maybe to a Broadway show, or maybe you just wanted to go bowling, or maybe you just missed the escape rooms. You know, there are many things that we miss during this time. But I want to ask you, how much do you miss your church family? How much do you miss them? No, the building is not a church. It's not. That's where we go to celebrate. But the family is the church. The people are the church. How much do you miss your church family? I encourage you, remember, when the doors get opened back up again, be there. And while they're not able to be opened up right now for you to get to, then go online and listen to some of the great pastors that are out there. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful pastors that are preaching the word of the Lord. And by all means, give of your tithes and your offerings to your home church, because the church continues, so they need your tithes and offerings. There will be coming a day when we'll get out of our homes and get back to somewhat normal again. And when that happens, oh, because we've been connected to the church, you watch. You wait, you'll see. Greater days are coming. Be connected to your church family.
Amen. Pastor Dale, I do have a couple of announcements before you turn your Facebook Live off. And one of them is about giving. The church is still operating here, and we're still supporting all the local ministries that we support, the homeless, the hungry, the sick, and that level of support from our church has not gone down. And there's three ways that you can give. You can give online. There it is. You can give by mail. Mail it to our post office. Do not mail it to our street address, but mail it to the post office. And then you can give at our depository box here at the church. You can drop it off at any time, and it will be safe. But I have a couple of announcements that I want to give you that you have not heard before. Today at 2 o'clock, we're going to be having a drive-through prayer. And what happened is you will drive into our parking lot from Irby Street, if you would. We will have prayer warriors. You will be able to see them. They will be wearing blue gloves. And you will pull up, and from a safe distance, you can roll your window down and tell us what you need prayer for. And we will pray for you and bless you. And then there is a flow of traffic. You just follow the flow of traffic back out to House Springs Road. And if you want to give your tithe and your offering during that time, you will be able to do so as well before you leave the property. So that will be set up, and that's an opportunity that you can worship with your giving. Today at 4 o'clock on Facebook Live, we're going to be having a youth meeting with our Coach Perk and Miss Jade. They want to say hi to you youth out there and want to give you a big hug on the interweb, as that's how we're having to communicate right now, so much of us. So that's at 4 o'clock today, our youth meeting with Coach Perk. Now, at 6 o'clock this evening, we're going to be having Kids Church live from the farm. If you caught up with us last week, it was a madhouse. It was wild. But it's real, and that's where we're at right now. But we're going to be doing some stuff live streaming from the farm for our Abundant Life kids. Now, I know that you're going to need a couple things, kids, so you can go ahead, parents, and I think they're going to need some colors and at least a piece of paper, and get ready to take some pictures. Miss Amber will be telling you more about that at 6 o'clock this afternoon. And the last announcement that I will make is next Sunday, we're going to be taking communion here at the church. So you have a week. I think we can still go to the grocery stores. You can get your juice and your bread and have it prepared in your home as we all take communion together as the body of Christ. Well, before we say goodbye, I just want to speak a blessing over you, because the word says that if we pronounce a blessing over our people, then God will bless them. So I bless you today. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor, and may the Lord give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. We will see you here at 2 o'clock for prayer.